there are growing concerns about civilians still living in Syria. More than a dozen Syrian children were killed when, according to activists, Syrian forces dropped barrel bombs on an elementary school in an opposition-held part of Aleppo yesterday. Photos online show rubbles in the hallways and walls covered with Mickey Mouse paintings. Meanwhile, UN Humanitarian Chief Valerie Amos says efforts to get more aid in are not working. She calculates that less than 10% of Syrians in need have received any aid in the last month. Let's bring in Joshua Landis, director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Josh, thanks for being with us.
It's always a pleasure.
And Joshua, this Syrian government is still in control of a lot of the food aid. So what does that mean in terms of how it's being distributed and how fair and equitable that food distribution is?
Well, food has become a primary weapon in this war, and President Assad does not allow access to many parts of the rebel territory for UN food aid. And the UN has to abide by this through international law. And Assad is then supplies food to the people who are in his territory and who are submissive. And that means we've seen from UN statistics that increasingly they're supplying food to more and more people. So they've been very successful for 4-point-something million people a month. But increasingly, refugees or people from rebel-held territories are coming over to government-held territory in order to get that food. And so this is a way, in a sense, to tell the rebels and the people under them that if you want food and you don't want to starve, you have to come to us and be submissive. And it's having an effect because people are crossing those lines and coming to government food areas.
So is that depleting rebel-held areas of bodies? And is it also putting people at risk who are entering government areas to get food?
Well, it does both of those things. I don't think it's had it's not undermining the rebel cause, but many people, and particularly the activists, are demanding that food aid go through these northern borders from Turkey in defiance of Assad, and that it become an equal provision on both sides, so that one side doesn't have all the food, and it's very important for this war.
Rather than allow, it sounds, food to be a reward for those who support the Assad regime and to be withheld
exactly.
as a punishment for those who don't. So that's food aid. Now, you have also argued, Joshua, that the international community is not giving nearly enough money to Syria. You have one particularly remarkable statistic about what the U.S. has given. Would you share that stat?
Well, the U.S. has provided a little over $2 billion worth of aid to the Syrian activists and so forth, and in aid to humanitarian aid. Now that is more than anybody else, but it's still only equal to about 1 week of what we spent in Iraq at the height of the Iraq War. So it shows the extreme lack of interest on the part of the United States in the Middle East and in helping Syria, and Syria specifically.
Because
we're still spending a lot in Afghanistan.
And are you a believer that more money should go to Syria and then that money would be spent well?
It's absolutely necessary. So many people are getting nothing. There's tons of refugee camps, and they are going to be Al-Qaeda 3 somewhere down the road. They are just going to be breeding grounds for unhappiness and terrorism of all kinds unless the international community can figure out a way to repair this situation.
Another big ongoing issue in Syria is that the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons is sending a mission there to investigate allegations that Assad carried out 3 or more chlorine gas attacks in just the last month. If chlorine gas was used, what does that tell you about the state of the fighting there?
Well, we're seeing all these sort of homemade weapons on both sides. The barrel bombs you mentioned already are these very crude homemade weapons, but they have a devastating effect on civilian. They're not accurate. And using chlorine, which is used in swimming pools and everything, it's very hard for the international community to ban it because it's an illegal substance. And it doesn't, strategists have said it doesn't make a big difference because you can't kill tons of people, but you do. You know, the most vulnerable, babies and so forth, suffocate with this gas. And it just is a way of terrorizing a population and forcing them to flee cities and areas that are being bombed because they're fearful. And it's just another tactic in what has become a very brutal and costly war.
President Assad has said that there will be presidential elections in early June, and he will be running. The U.S. has called these elections a parody of democracy. We have about 30 seconds with you, Joshua. What would you say is expected of these elections?
I think that Bashar al-Assad is expected to win. America is disappointed. They want a transitional government and Assad to step down. He's not going to do that. Our strategy is not working, and nobody really has an answer for the Syrian situation.
That's Joshua Landis, director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Thank you very much for talking with us.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to Here and Now.